The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, August 27th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. I'm on the tail end of this head cold. It's just starting to leave, so I'm feeling a little bit better, feeling a little rowdier. Maybe, dare I say, a little bit more radical, because today we got something special for you, folks. Today, on the popular social networking site Reddit, Kevin Sabet hosted an AMA, and if you don't know what a Reddit AMA is, it's Ask Me Anything, where the Reddit community can submit questions and the person answers those questions. Well, I got a problem with a lot of Kevin Sabet's answers, so today, in an extended radical rant at the end of the show, we're going to tackle Kevin Sabet's Reddit AMA. You can also find it by going to rad-r.us/SabetAMA. Got to capitalize the S in Sabet and the AMA, but you'll get there. We'll also post the link in our chat room. It's pretty amazing, and if you'd like to give me a few points on that Reddit, I'd really appreciate it as well. We also have some videos from HempFest on Sunday, and those are going to include Coral Reefer, our good friend, taking a Stony Sunday break with us in the Dab Central room. Also, I went out among all the vendors and found a nonprofit and a great woman named Joy Beckerman Marr, and she is going to give you a little taste of what she's doing in activism. And I know the icon up there says main stage hip hop. I've actually got something different today, because our friend Melody Sheep out there at Symphony of Science has dropped a brand new tune called Monsters of the Cosmos. It's perfect for Electric Tuesday, so we're going to debut that one today instead of that hip hop video. I'll save that for Thursday, our Groovin' Thursday video. Makes more sense to put it there anyway. Also on the show today, we have got your daily headlines in our 420 radio news, including some news out of Connecticut, where their medical marijuana program rules have been approved. The Attorney General is being pressured on that DEA-NSA connection. The Air Force has banned a Greek yogurt. We'll tell you why. The governor of North Carolina, who vetoed their drug testing for welfare bill, will be calling a special session to defend that veto. And here in Oregon, our state advisory committee for medical marijuana has suggested two prosecutors and one cop be a part of the panel that determines the rules for dispensaries. We'll give you a look behind that in our news as well. All that coming up on today's Russ Belville Show. Please stick around and think about becoming a supporter at 420radio.org.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot Concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course, on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Playing rock and roll for a lot of years, and I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 27, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Attorney General Holder pressed to explain DEA use of hidden data evidence from NBC News. Eight Democratic senators and congressmen have asked Attorney General Eric Holder to answer questions about a Reuters report that the National Security Agency supplies the Drug Enforcement Administration with intelligence information used to make non-terrorism cases against American citizens. Five Democrats in the Senate and three senior Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee submitted questions to Holder about the NSA-DEA relationship, joining two prominent Republicans who have expressed concerns. The matter will be discussed during classified briefings scheduled for September, Republican and Democratic aides said. Quote, these allegations raise serious concerns that gaps in the policy and law are allowing overreach by the federal government's intelligence gathering apparatus, end quote, wrote the senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Ron Wyden of Oregon, Tom Udall of New Mexico, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, and Sherrod Brown of Ohio. The three congressmen, John Conyers of Michigan, the senior Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, and Gerald Nadler of New York and Bobby Scott of Virginia, wrote to Holder on August 9th, shortly after the original Reuters report. Air Force bans Greek yogurt with hemp seeds over anti-drug fears from HuffingtonPost.com. The Air Force warned personnel over the weekend to steer clear of a specific flavor of Chobani Greek yogurt that includes hemp seeds. Hemp contains trace amounts of THC, the psychoactive ingredient also found in marijuana, classified alongside heroin and LSD as a Schedule I drug under federal law. The Air Force, as part of its anti-drug policy, added hemp seed oil products and hemp seed to a list of forbidden substances in 1999, over concerns that they could confuse the results of drug tests regularly given to service members. An independent study by Vote Hemp, a nonprofit hemp advocacy group, found that eating a half pound of commercial hulled hemp seeds would be unlikely to cause someone to exceed the federal limit of 50 parts of THC per billion. Raleigh, McCrory calls lawmakers back for veto session from the News Observer. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory on Thursday called for a veto override session of the legislature for September 3rd to consider two bills dealing with the drug testing of welfare recipients and immigration. It was not immediately clear whether House Speaker Tom Tillis would ask the House to attempt to override the governor's veto, but one of his lieutenants, Representative Mike Hager, said there were enough votes in the House to override the veto if Tillis wanted to move in that direction. Both bills passed with more than the three-fifths needed to override a veto. Because both are House bills, the decision on whether to attempt to an override must be made in that chamber. McCrory vetoed a bill that would require people applying for the state's Work First and Food Stamps program to be tested if a social worker suspected they might be abusing drugs. It would also require county social services to make sure an applicant didn't have an outstanding felony warrant and wasn't violating probation. Applicants could also be fingerprinted under the measure. The governor said the bill looks good on paper, but it's not an effective way to fight drug abuse. He said a better use of tax dollars is to make sure applicants with addiction issues get the treatment they need. McCrory has been lobbying lawmakers to not override the bills. Oregon State mulls candidate for committee that will draft rules for medical marijuana dispensaries from Oregon Live. A committee that makes recommendations to the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program has suggested adding two prosecutors and an Oregon State police official to the committee that will draft rules for the new registry for medical marijuana retailers. The Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana has submitted more than a dozen names of potential candidates for the Rules Committee. Todd Delotto, chair of the Advisory Committee, said the group supports adding Rob Bovette, the Lincoln County District Attorney with expertise in drug policy, Clatsop County District Attorney Josh Marquis, and State Police Captain Mike Dingaman to the Rules Committee. Dingaman formerly oversaw the State Police Drug Enforcement Section. He now oversees the Forensic Services Division, which includes the State Crime Lab. Delotto said the committee also recommended that Pat Marshall, who owns Sunrise Analytical, a Wilsonville company that offers testing services for medical marijuana, as well as lawyers, operators of existing medical marijuana retail facilities, patients, and an Ashland doctor who's made referrals to the program. Sarah Bennett, who operated the Human Collective, a Washington County dispensary that was raided last year by local police, is among the names submitted to the state for consideration. The collective served as a model for the new law. Medical marijuana rules approved in Connecticut. Program can now move forward, from current.com. Connecticut's new medical marijuana program will move forward now that regulations governing the system were approved by a key legislative committee in a voice vote Tuesday afternoon. To be licensed to grow marijuana and produce medical marijuana products, applicants must put $2 million in escrow with the state, which will be gradually reduced over 5 years as the licensees hit certain milestones. Producers will also have to pay a $25,000 application fee and a $75,000 license fee. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 27th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we spend a stony Sunday with our friend Coral Reefer at Dab Central at Seattle Hemp Fest a couple of Sundays ago. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back after this.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.
Homer. Odyssey.
Somebody has to say something.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005.
All right, here we are with our good friend, Coral Reefer.
Hi, and hello.
It is Stony Sunday.
Happy Stony Sunday!
Yay, we are so happy here at Seattle Hemp Fest. Of course, Coral Reefer Stony Sunday's replays here on 420 Radio, I think four times throughout the week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but you can get
like
the whole... But you can get the whole website at...
StonySunday.com. There's like 145 episodes.
Wow, 145. That's the thing about doing this. I was just on a panel about cannabis and social media, and you've been on a few of these panels. And the number one thing we keep talking about is just keep doing it.
Yeah, consistency. Even if you think no one's watching, just make something you're proud of and keep going.
Yeah, eventually they watch. And if you need them to watch some more, email us. We'll help you. We'll tell you how this works.
Yeah, there's like a whole new crop of bloggers and people that are posting on all the different social networks. Yeah. People are feeling more empowered. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you reach a big, big audience. I mean, I'm sure you get people worldwide that are writing.
Today during Sunday Sunday Live, there was Switzerland and Norway. And I was like, I want to come visit.
That's
South Africa too.
I get a lot from the Scandinavian countries too.
Yeah.
What's up with Norway and Switzerland?
What about Australia for you?
New Zealand is the big one. Big out New Zealand. We love you, New Zealand. But I thought since it was Sunday and since it was Hempfest and since we're legal here, we could enjoy. This is the official oil slick Happy Daddy 420 Radio handmade bong of Hempfest with some Blue City Diesel. You like Blue City Diesel?
I don't think I've had it.
All right. Well, you will now.
To the strain list.
And so, ladies first, we'll let you take
you.
The first serving
Oh, thank you. No
hempwick.
No
hempwick. I've got one on the pipe over there. There we go. Represent.
Blue City Diesel?
Blue City Diesel.
I like it.
I don't know. Brian, what do we know about Blue City Diesel?
It's got a really skunky flavor. I think it's a cross off the New York Diesel. I'm not positive.
I love the sticker on the bong. I do bong jewelry on mine, too.
Bong jewelry? Do you bedazzle the bong?
I have. It's been done. And then bracelets as well. They're removable.
What about bong underwear?
Bong?
Oh, yeah, mine actually has seasonal outfits. Mine has, like, there's a tie, a Christmas outfit, a Hawaiian shirt.
You people think we're joking, but you see what the market is on dog clothing?
It's true.
So yeah. Bong clothing can't be that far
away. It's a real thing.
The one with the tie is a business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's when, you're feeling, you know...
So what do you think about, you know, you've been doing a few of these events now where you're getting onto these panels just from being a video blogger. I mean, that feeling intimidating? Does it feel liberating?
It feels really exciting that I think it's the audiences speaking to the people that are putting on the events. Like, the people running the events don't always know what everyone's paying attention to, and I feel really connected to my audience, and so I feel like it's a really great opportunity to see them in person and live, and it's going to keep happening as they keep asking for people they want to see at these panels. They keep asking for radio hosts and YouTubers and people that maybe the event promoters aren't thinking of right away. We're not rock stars, we're not these crazy celebrities, you know, but we have a lot to say, and we've been in the industry. It's been really amazing.
And for people out there that are in, you know, Texas, Tennessee, you know, places where it's a little less free, they kind of get a vicarious thrill out of, oh man, that's so cool you're able to do that.
Yeah, they're not able to really speak their truth about cannabis as freely, so I think it's really empowering to see people that can, and they want it to keep happening. So we have to keep supporting events like this that not just have, like, booths and food and things to buy, but also have the speaking engagements and opportunities to learn.
Yeah, if you come to one of these events, almost all of them have some sort of panels that are going on where you can feed your head, and you should do that.
You might have to look for it. It might be like inside and around the corner, so look for it and find it and definitely get out of the sun and enjoy some shade.
And maybe have 45 minutes go by without smoking weed.
Well, I don't like that at all.
But hey, get yourself educated, because that's the way we win this thing. That's why it's legal here in Seattle. That's why it's legal here in Washington. Is enough people knew that it was safer than alcohol, knew that it was stupid to lock people up, knew that we were wasting money. And that happened because you and me and a whole bunch of people kept saying it over and over.
It's true. We got people in their own home states to talk about it, to ask their neighbors and their bosses and their friends, like, do you really think this should be illegal? Like, what are you going to vote on it? And get the conversation started. I think it's Bianca Barnhill starting with the Spark the Conversation. Yeah, I love that campaign.
Yes. Bianca.
Yeah, that's really good.
A lot of good people working on this. Just check the internet. Check 420radio.org. We are the Whitman sampler of cannabis community radio. We got shows from all over. Here's some nuts.
I'll throw that
bowl first. Oh, go. Go right ahead.
Fire.
With the Casher. We got the Casher on there. Love the Casher.
Love the Casher.
That's what you like that about Coral. She's not a weed snob either. She'll clear the bowl. She'll play the ball. She's all right with that.
Holy crap.
They're
stalking you.
Happy Stony Sunday. We're going to load
another one. They want the goodie bags.
We'll load another one here and have some fun. turn on some music, check out Stony Sundays on stonysundays.com and on 420radio.org, and we'll see you on the inner tubes.
Well, yeah, thank you guys.
Peace out.
Yeah, it's always fun to see our friend Coral Reefer out there. Libra Mater got a little crazy there. Let's try this again, Libra. There we go. So much stuff going on. We got Brian the Red stopping by. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing all right, Russ.
Had a lot of thanks for running the camera on those interviews. And yesterday we played your vaporizer interviews. Good work on those, too.
Thanks very much.
Let's enjoy a bong. Woo. Back in a sec.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more.
I don't know anything about government. Luckily, Terry Joyce does, and she tells me what to think, say, and do. Terry Joyce was a carnival freak for years. I'm not wearing any pants, and Terry Joyce is going to fight for my right to get them back. That's why I'm asking you to watch the Hollywood Hempers Hour with Terry Joyce. Trust me, I medicate.
Music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and welcome back to the show, our good friend Bacon Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, not too bad. My voice is hurting a little bit today after a very rough night of karaoke last night, but all in all, I guess that's kind of a first-world problem, so I can't complain too much.
Oh, I thought you were going to complain about, you know, screaming at the Timbers Sounders game or something.
Oh, I am thoroughly annoyed at that, but I have to give the city of Seattle much credit. 67,000 fans, the largest ever MLS crowd in the history of Major League Soccer. It just would have been better if we won, but we got a Sounders game. Sounders are coming here to Portland, and I will be there to boo them mercifully.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I have a bit of a surprise for you because I was putting the show together this afternoon, and I looked up for the uploads, and I didn't see one. And Gothic Prophet let me know that there was a new Symphony of Science tune, so I'm going to go with that tune today, but we'll use the tune that you just uploaded the following week, if that's cool.
All right, that works.
All right. So what do you got planned? We got some stuff coming up here. Are you going to be in Portland for the Portland Hemp Stock or heading up to Seattle for the Cannabis Cup?
still waiting to see how, if I'm going to get the full weekend. If I get the full weekend off from work, I will be in Seattle. But unfortunately, if I can't, since I work most Sundays, I will at the very least be at the one here in Portland.
All right. Well, I just got my 6 vendor passes for the Seattle Cannabis Cup, and one of them's got your name on it if you can make it up.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And one of them's already spoken for as far as where I'm staying up in Seattle. So I've got room for, well, Bacon Dan and 3 more people if you're going to be in the Seattle area and want to be a part of the 420 Radio booth, help me sell some merchandise, tell people about 420 Radio and so on. Just let me know. Go to our contact form at 420radio.org/contact. And Bacon Dan, we'll have to head out again sometime and do some karaoke from hell once I get my voice back.
Oh, sounds good, man.
All right. Thanks for all your help, and sorry I didn't get in touch with you earlier on that upload, but we'll have that for next week, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
This is Symphony of Science now. New video, Monsters of the Cosmos.
I will travel where no man has dared to go. Into the black hole. That's crazy.
If you fall in, you never come out. Stretching you from head to toe. Death by black hole.
There are monsters out in the cosmos that can swallow entire stars.
Inside these equations, there's a monster.
Anything that springs too close will be pulled in.
Gravity is infinite at the center of a black hole. Stops. Space makes no sense.
Every galaxy has got one big black hole in the middle and millions of smaller black holes.
An anomaly of gravity so strange. Nothing is more seductive.
There are monsters out in the cosmos that can swallow entire stars. That can destroy space itself. Completely invisible. Anything that strains too close will be pulled in.
In the last century, black holes have gone from being mathematical curiosities to real objects in the cosmos, seemingly crucial to the formation of galaxies.
Nothing can escape it, even light.
There must be millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy. Nothing there to light them up.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy. Nothing there to light them up.
At the heart of a large black hole is a singularity.
It's a singularity.
It's a point of infinite density.
The accepted laws of physics break down.
Break down. Break down.
Black holes form when giant stars run out of fuel and collapse under their own weight. Under their own weight.
Dark remnants of burned out stars. Burned out stars.
Truth is stranger than sci-fi.
An anomaly of gravity so strange. Nothing is more seductive.
There are monsters out in the cosmos. Swallow entire stars. That can destroy space itself.
Completely invisible.
Anything that strains too close will be pulled in.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy. Nothing there to light them up.
Millions and millions of black holes.
Millions and millions and millions
zipping around our galaxy. Nothing there to light them up.
Scarier than a black hole.
The boundary between the known universe and a place beyond the reach of science.
Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense.
There was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but...
begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, we return you to Seattle Hemp Fest.
All right, it's Sunday here at Hemp Fest. Radical Russ, I've made my way to the Normal booth. It feels like home. And the Normal Women's Alliance has really gotten quite a presence here. And joining us here from the Normal Women's Alliance is Joy. Hi, Joy.
Hello there, Russ. It's really nice to meet you today. And you did such a great job with 420 Radio on the panel today.
Thank you. And I love the shirt. Stoner professional or professional stoner? Can you tell? Speak your truth in the workplace. That's very good, because this is something, you know, I always made a point about medical marijuana laws that it kind of poked a hole in drug testing at work, because if you work with a patient and they work just fine, why are you testing me? Because I'm healthy.
It's interesting, and we had here the president of the UFCW. He wrote the first and only collective bargaining agreement. He was the speaker here yesterday that actually allows for medical marijuana in a union contract. So that's thrilling. That area of employment law is really interesting and growing and being developed, and it's certainly being developed in Colorado and Washington, and people are sort of making practices out of it, specialties. So that's an interesting spot. But I am the Normal Women's Alliance's industrial hemp expert.
Yes.
So I wanted to just share with you some really exciting stuff that's going on the federal level right now with industrial hemp. What's amazing is that on July 11th of this year, 2013, for the first time in 50 years, our U.S. House of Representatives not only voted on a hemp bill, they passed it. And that is historical and amazing. What they passed was an amendment to the Farm Bill, which, in the interest of full disclosure, we sort of hope the Farm Bill doesn't pass. It doesn't stand for farm. It's a bloated Republican agricultural bill that stands for the Federal Agricultural Reform and Risk Management Act of 2013. But what the House did was, hey, if this horrible bill does end up passing, the Farm Bill, then now it's going to pass with the amendment that they just voted on, and that is that for states that already have industrial hemp legal, colleges and universities in those states will in fact be able to grow industrial hemp for research purposes. But beyond that, we have two very exciting things happening on a federal level, and that would be H.R. 525 and Senate Bill SB 359. They mirror each other, and the short title of both of those bills is the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2013. And in short, what that bill seeks to do, or those bills seek to do, is remove the words industrial hemp from the definition of the word marijuana within the Controlled Substances Act. So the minute the words industrial hemp are removed from the definition of marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act, no longer a controlled substance. Obviously, it has no business being there. The DEA is the only one that can issue permits to grow industrial hemp, but there's a catch there. They don't issue the permits. So the fact that that's happening is huge. And our own Washington Representative Jim McDermott from my own legislative district is one of the 17 co-sponsors out of all of those hundreds of representatives. He's one of the 17 co-sponsors of H.R. 525. So we're very proud of Jim McDermott. We also have three industrial hemp bills going forth right now in the state of Washington. So there is just huge movement going on. So folks, we're moving forward on every front of cannabis sativa L, both cultivars, marijuana, and industrial hemp.
Awesome.
Yes.
And I know that recently there's been a couple of states that have amended their state hemp law because previous hemp laws were, well, as soon as the DEA gives you a permit, go right ahead.
Yep.
And I think it was, what, Maine that changed theirs, or maybe it was Vermont. I'm not sure.
It was probably Vermont.
Right. And so this bill that's going through will affect both the states, right? The ones that say you have to have a permit and, of course, the ones that say you don't have to have a permit.
Yes, well, you know, and we get back to that same old, same old. The feds rule the land, so whatever the states are doing, I certainly believe in the states' rights, but the feds certainly aren't making any distinction right now. They don't really care what laws the states pass. They're going to control industrial hemp unless these two bills can pass, and they're the only ones who can issue the permits, and they simply refuse to issue them.
Yeah.
The only legal industrial hemp grow that we've had in this country since the last legal grow in 1958, post-war efforts, Hemp for Victory, was between 1999 and 2003, and that was the Hawaii Industrial Hemp Research Project. And that was amazing, and Dr. David West, who is, I think, the world's foremost botanical resource and botanical expert with regards to industrial hemp and even marijuana, he was the head research scientist for that grow. But that's in 2003 that ended, so... But the bottom line is, we feel so hopeful, and we feel very inspired by what's going on a federal level right now with Polis and Blumenauer, who are really our two main champions. Your representative! Just very proud of them, very inspired by them, and hopping on their bandwagon, and things really are moving forward on a huge level.
And I know you have another cause that's dear to you. I see the button there. The Lily button.
Indeed.
Let's talk a little bit about Lily.
Indeed, let's do that. So Billy Fisher never really had custody of Lily because he was working in Idaho, and Lily was from Spokane. And I guess the long story short is that the most important part to know about this story, the part that matters, is that Lily's mother has some emotional instability, and she's missing right now, actually. Nobody knows where she is, including the courts, and they're in the middle of a massive court session, court procedure. But he has this degenerative disc disease, and he treats his degenerative disc disease with medical marijuana, and the state of Washington has decided that the foster system would be a more appropriate place for his daughter, Lily, because he treats his degenerative disc disease with medical marijuana. He's a responsible, hardworking, intelligent young man. I've never seen such a loving, caring father. And Lily is most definitely not in better hands being in the foster system. Child Protective Services has absolutely stomped all over his rights. It's putting him through a litany of legal hell and hoops that there's absolutely no need for him to jump from. He could actually be a role model for many other dads. So we are very much hoping for some court justice. Of course, he's socioeconomically deprived, so he's depending on public defenders, and one after another, they continue to just fail and be overburdened in their workload. And I know public defenders and public prosecutors work very difficult and long hours, but he's not getting the legal help that he needs. So he and Sarah Frank, who is Moms for Marijuana for this state, that's also his girlfriend, Sarah Frank, they are turning into their own paralegals, and they do legal research, and they get information from, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears and hard work, and they fight for their rights on a grassroots level, and they're doing an amazing job bringing awareness to Child Protective Services and just the unjust and really truly I don't want to say evil, I hate to use those kinds of words, but what I can say is it's an unlawful organization, CPS, stomping on legal rights and patients' rights.
Yeah, we're going to focus on that a whole lot more. I've got an assignment for Alternate to write about.
Yes!
So I'd like to talk to you and some of these other activists about it, because it's new to me. I've got one of those.
Okay.
Got one of those buttons already. It's a new subject to me, but the more I learn about it, the more... It's even more insidious than the whole private prison system for profit.
Worse.
Which I always thought was bad, but at least in the private prison prison system for profit. You went through a court and a regular law applied to you. The CPS stuff, they're making up the rules as they go.
And family court is a very, you know, God bless everybody who has to deal with the family court system and is responsible for it, but it's a system you don't ever want to have to put your finger in, because once you're in it, it's not like civil law and civil court. Family law and family court is totally different from criminal law, totally different from civil law. It's a system you never want to get involved in, because once any one of us are under a microscope, you can find anything to basically attack someone's parenting.
Yeah.
So, and that's what happens when you're involved in family court. You're under that microscope, and there's
Joy. It's amazing stuff, and we'll have you on again. Future shows, I can tell.
Beautiful.
Because we need a hemp expert and also somebody who's so, you know, passionate about this movement, and we appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for all the work you're doing, Russ.
All right. And one last thing. Go ahead and say your name, and
That's Joy Beckerman Marr at the Normal Women's Alliance booth. Big thanks to her for standing up for the movement, especially the CPS stuff. Like I said, we're going to give you more information on this Child Protective Services nightmare. We'll have a lot more. We may even do a week on it and just kind of expose some of the nightmares that are going on in the name of trying to protect the kids from their own families. Perfectly decent families, perfectly decent parents whose only crime is smoking or growing some weed. When we come back, we have time for a radical rant. I'm attacking Kevin Sabet's Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine, it's not everyday fun, it's not good for you, all right? So listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks. Today on the social media network Reddit, Kevin Sabet participated in an AMA, which is something they call an Ask Me Anything. And I got the website up in the chat room if you want to check it out for yourself and read along, because I missed it on it when it was live, but I'm actually glad I did, because it would have just, it just made me angry, and who needs to get angry that early in the morning? But it allowed me to add my comments after the AMA, so I went in and responded to every single point he tried to make. And it's very interesting, especially some of the things other people had to say. The very top point that you'll see from Drug War Throwaway is, How do you deal with the fact that a majority of U.S. citizens do not agree with you? Thanks. P.S. Why are all the positive reviews of your book from reviewers with only one review on Amazon? Shady. And then that's followed up by, not to mention the majority of answered questions so far being from zero-day accounts asking questions that pander to his favorite talking points. So I don't know how much debunking I really need to do. It seems like a lot of the folks on Reddit are pretty smart and have figured things out on their own. But there were some points I did definitely want to get to. A Redditor named Apolite asked, do you have a concern that the prohibition itself may be more harmful than the actual marijuana consumption? And Kevin answers, all policies have pros and cons. Prohibition isn't great, but legalization would be worse for the reasons I outline in Reefer Sanity. You know, got to pimp the book, and hey, that's fine. Promote your book, right? So we're better off being the world's largest jailer per capita and overall of all human history, with half the people there for drug-related offenses. And that's better than a legal regulated market in marijuana and the decriminalization of possession of other drugs. See, the problem with people asking these questions of Kevin is you got to ask him in such a way that make him a little harder for him to dodge. I would have asked it like this. Can you explain to us how prohibition of marijuana is better than its legalization, but legalization of alcohol is better than its prohibition? See, we have this experience back in 1920 through 1933, where we, to save the children, banned alcohol. We saw how that turned out. Let's go to another question. A person named MS Deck asked, is it fair to say that the middle ground Project Sam is seeking when it comes to cannabis still includes the use of SWAT teams, courts, and a lifelong criminal record? If it is not fair, could you please explain in detail how it is not? Well, Kevin comes back to answer that, saying, we talk about how we are not in favor of permanent criminal records for marijuana smokers at learnaboutsam.org. But then he follows that with, SWAT teams would be a case-by-case thing. We're not experts on law enforcement practices, but I would hope there would be a general sense of only using SWAT practices in the most egregious of cases. See, this is what you got to do with Kevin Sabet. Don't get away from the marijuana use. Get to the marijuana market, because that's what he doesn't have an answer for. Everything on that Project Sam still maintains criminal penalties, interdiction, SWAT teams, eradication, invasion, forfeiture, and long prison terms for people who grow and sell pot. He can't get away from that. SWAT teams would be a case-by-case thing. You know, because some people who grow pot still need to have armed thugs burst through the door and shoot their dogs and terrorize their families. Kevin continues by saying, remember, despite what is often described, people are not in court for just smoking pot. Usually a court appearance entails pot and other things, driving recklessly maybe, or a probation violation. We'll get back to that one. Another question, SJ1989 wanted to know, how does the revenue that could be potentially raised by taxing and regulating marijuana compare to the societal costs associated with marijuana use? Taxation versus the cost. Well, this is the old Sabet conjecture. Kevin Sabet says, well, that's a question many legislators are looking at right now because it's attractive. Tax pot people are using and we can make money from it. We've never legalized marijuana, so everything anyone says about what exact costs will be have to be taken with that in mind. But when we look at alcohol and tobacco, two legal addictive drugs, we know that for every $1 in revenue they bring in, they cost at least $10 in social costs. Now, there was a lot of people who responded to that one saying, wait a minute, you're talking about alcohol and tobacco, which are dangerous and addictive and have great societal costs, and you're trying to compare it to marijuana, which is far safer, far less addictive. It's apples and oranges comparison. So I congratulate so many Redditors out there for pouncing on that part of it. But here's the part I always like to point out. This was my answer. Here's your solution now. Tell us what marijuana costs now to society. It's not like legalization invents marijuana. There's 27 million people smoking it right now every year. So what does that cost? What does it cost? Because right now, we're taking in zero tax dollars to offset it. And we're spending billions of dollars in a futile attempt to stop it. So tell us what the current cost is, Kevin. Whatever that current cost is, let's call it X. Now, hazard a guess as to how much percentage use will go up when it's legal. 3%, 5%, 10%, 25%. I don't care. Call that Y percent, right? All right. So your cost when legal will be X plus X times Y percent. We'll know what that cost can be. Then you have to subtract from that equation however much we're spending in prohibition costs that wouldn't continue as enforcement costs. Let's call that Z. So all you need to do is set the pot tax P equal to what the costs are. P equals X plus X times Y percent minus Z. Problem solved. Just tell us what it costs now. But he never will. He'll never try to quantify what the costs to marijuana to society are now, because then people would see how much lower they are compared to alcohol and tobacco. People would see an actual number instead of being frightened by the boogeyman of costs, nameless, shapeless, mysterious costs that we would suffer. Another person who was calling Sabet on that whole comparing alcohol and tobacco to marijuana said, why do you choose to compare the cost of legalizing cannabis to legal tobacco and alcohol? The latter are known to be addictive and very unhealthy, where while there is very little to show that the same is true for cannabis. A more apt comparison would be to compare it to something like caffeine, which is a legal drug that is used just as much as tobacco and alcohol, but doesn't have the societal cost you use to promote your anti-legalization agenda. And Kevin's answer to that was that the dangers of all these drugs are different. Sounds like the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, right? We can't say alcohol or marijuana is less toxic because, you know, they both cause harm. He says the dangers of all these drugs are different. For instance, cigarettes don't cause car crashes, but marijuana and alcohol do. I beg to differ. I know a lot of people who, I don't know a lot of people, but I can imagine that trying to light a cigarette is distracting. Dropping a cigarette cherry into your lap might cause you to swerve. He also says marijuana and cigarettes don't lead to violent behavior, but alcohol does. Caffeine does not stunt your cognitive development, whereas alcohol and marijuana both can. I'm comparing marijuana to alcohol and tobacco because those are an example of two legal drugs. Alcohol and marijuana have similar addiction chance profiles, but they and heroin are both less than the addiction chance for tobacco. No, alcohol and marijuana do not have similar addiction chance profiles. 9% according to NIDA, 15% for alcohol. 9% for marijuana, 15% for alcohol. And if you're addicted to marijuana, addicted, square quote, and you suddenly stop using marijuana, you will not die. But if you are addicted to alcohol and you suddenly quit it, you can die. As a son of an alcoholic, I am personally offended whenever you try to compare marijuana and alcohol, Kevin. All right, let's get to another of his points. Let's see. Wingsfan 101 said, most people who smoke don't get addicted. What's the big deal? I'm an average student in college and smoke weekly or biweekly. I don't see it really affecting my life. And Kevin comes back to say, I don't think everyone who smokes pot needs treatment. In fact, we know that most people who use any drug stop after 1 to 3 times, and most of the others can stop without treatment. So why are you promoting this idea that marijuana needs to stay illegal and the people who are caught with it need to be screened for potential treatment? I do not see you advocating that for alcohol. We need to potentially screen anyone we catch with a beer on the chance they might be an alcoholic and screen them and make sure that if they are, according to the screener, likely to be an alcoholic, that they're forced into alcohol rehab where they have to take pee tests to see whether or not they're drinking. They have to go to that rehab or they can go to jail. Until you are proposing that for alcoholics, quit trying to save the marijuana, scare quotes, addicts. Oh, my God. Here's the thing. He continues to say the minority of users who do get addicted have lots of problems. They cost society in terms of accidents, workplace costs, health costs, incur costs to themselves, poorer educational attainment, etc. Again, in a world that is tolerating alcoholics in the workplace, in a world that allows nicotine addicts to get a fix every 15 minutes, twice an hour, and sometimes even pays for the facility for them to do it in so they don't get rained on, I refuse to accept that there is a need to prevent potential workplace health costs and whatever from my pot smoking if you're going to let the alcoholics and nicotine addicts get away with it. If you want to have a standard in this country that we got to save people from themselves to benefit capitalism, then you need to start applying it to the real sources, the alcoholics, the smokers, the prescription drug addicts, pot smokers and coffee drinkers would be very low on your list. But no, there's too many drinkers and there's too many smokers, and they have big industries that have lobbies that would fight against that stuff. And marijuana doesn't to the most extent. So like any good bully, you're picking on the ones that can't defend themselves as well. Let's see. Kevin was asked about the rescheduling of marijuana for cancer, epilepsy, PTSD. And he says, marijuana has medical value, but that does not mean raw marijuana is medicine. We need to derive products based on marijuana, like whole extracts with CBD as the main ingredient, versus allowing smoked marijuana. Okay, folks. Now we get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is that this is all a defense for the paradigm of synthetic, processed, patentable, marked up pharmaceutical medications. It's the idea that a plant can't possibly be medicine, but the stuff in it that we can extract and patent and sell at a markup is medicine. And you will find throughout Kevin Sabet's rhetoric, everywhere he goes, that the whole point of this is to stop the plant. People can't use a plant. Think about what he says here. Marijuana has medical value, but that does not mean raw marijuana is medicine. We need to derive products based on marijuana, like whole extracts with CBD as the main ingredient, versus allowing smoked marijuana. Oranges have a nutritional value, but that does not mean raw oranges are beneficial. We need to derive products based on oranges, like whole juices or vitamin C pills, versus allowing eaten oranges. This, I don't know how much more I can express how this is the core of the argument. It's to fight the plant. When Kevin says medicine, he doesn't mean substance that aids healing. He means substance approved by the FDA that is standardized and patented. That is the core to this. And when we go further down into another one of his answers here, he talks about how people shouldn't be, you know, he's long time talked about not allowing the smoked marijuana. That's always been one of his things. We can't have smoked marijuana. But further down in this AMA, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it here, he actually goes ahead and says that we should not allow, oh, here it is. He talks about Connecticut. Someone asks about Connecticut's medical marijuana law. What is the most important piece of any regulation for medical marijuana? This is asked for Kevin. And Kevin says, keep it for cancer, MS, AIDS, and epileptic patients only. And have it be non-smoked. No need to smoke, vape, or eat it. That shows you right there that his entire point here is you can't have the plant. You just can't have the plant. Previously, it was always about smoked marijuana, how bad the smoke is. Smoke is bad for your lungs. No medicine is smoked. And then we came forth and said, okay, yeah, all right, sure. How about vaporization? How about we vaporize the bud, vaporize the oil, vaporize it so that it is heated to the point of the vapors, the medically beneficial cannabinoids, being able to be inhaled with its rapid dose delivery and self-titration without any of that harmful, pesky smoke you have a problem with. Oh, now suddenly it's not the smoke. Now it's the smoking or vaporizing that's a problem. Yeah, somehow he wants to keep it for the cancer and AIDS patients. The cancer and AIDS patients who may be puking violently, either from chemotherapy or their cachexia. And rather than allowing them to vaporize and take an immediate hit and get immediate reaction and immediate relief from their nausea, he expects them to take some sort of pill or extract, swallow it, not vomit it back up for 40 minutes, and then hope they took enough to work, lest they have to take another pill and wait another 40 minutes and not vomit again while they're severely nauseous. I encourage you to check out this Reddit AMA because it is fascinating as hell, some of the things Kevin Sabet has to say I encourage you to check it all out. There's more in there about, oh no, big tobacco and advertising. I've got a piece on HighTimes.com right now about that angle. I encourage you to check that out as well. Whew, that's all the time we got for today. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.